हरि ओ चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
further notes from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 34, from Jiva Dharma, chapters 26 to 28. So then, you know, discussion about the Vyavachari and their effects, right? So Goswami, 33 Vyavachari Bhavas, as well as one Mukhya Stai Bhava, and the 7 Gona Stai Bhavas, which will be dealt with later, together total 41 Bhavas. All of them produce vikaras in the bodily system, and are chitta vritti, tendencies of the heart that produce bhava. Right, so they're all going to have an effect on the heart. So the difference between whether it's the sattvika or the anubhavas is just a matter of whether the intellectual aspect is also included. But they all have an effect on the heart, which has an effect on the body. And then they have different mechanics how they work, but they basically have the same effects. So vrajana, which specific bhavas do they give birth to?
Just in case.
Goswami, they create the 8 sattvika bhavas and all the anubhavas that follow the central vibhava. Because the central vibhava is there. It's because of that there's going to be that impetus for experiencing the taste. Right? Because there's something connected with Krishna. Right? Something he personally does, something how he looks, you know, an attitude, a mood, something connected to him, is a paraphernalia or his associates or the dham or anything. Anything that there from that central, saying that central vibhava, because the vibhava will be the central aspect of it coming up, the inspiration. Right? The stai bhava will be the central, and that's the rati. But it has to have some impetus to function. That's the vibhava. And as soon as that comes up, and that vibhava will be then connected with these other bhavas, right? And so then that will then create the astasattvika bhavas and the anubhavas. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, all these create tastes that then we see have an effect as anubhavas and sattvika bhavas. So anubhavas and sattvika bhavas are always the effect. Right? The stai bhavas is the fixed aspect. You can say also that aspect of the alambana, the relationship that you have with Krishna in that particular rasa. Right? Then you're going to have the things that create, you know, the vibhava aspects, the udipan is going to create that. That's going to then create all these other flavors. Does that make sense? Like which will have the physical symptoms. Yeah. Okay. Vrajana, are they all innate part of the original spiritual nature and personality of the devotee? Goswami, no, some are natural, but others are agantuka, transitory and adventitious. The stai bhava of every individual devotee is the natural bhava. In general, the vyavichari bhavas are transitory. Right? In other words, the stai bhava, that's the fixed one that's there. Everything else, that's all just coming up. Right? So then, the stai bhava is fixed to that one, but the other 40, those come and go. So the vyavicharas are all definitely transitory. And other rasas, it may have something that may be part of your rasas, the standard thing, but generally they're also transitory, the 7 secondary. But we see someone like Kamsa, you know, fear of Krishna, like that is actually a very fixed aspect of his bhava. Right? Because it's in that aspect of doing something wrong, but that pratipa, Right? It's not an actual, you could say, the transcendental bhava, like that. And it's not in the sattva either. It's not a reflection of that. It is just that they're doing something that's wrong and getting a taste from that. But that, because it's connected to Krishna, they'll get the most intense taste. But it's in the secondary. That's why I say the vyavacharas, in general, the vyavachari bhavas are transitory, because we'll see also sometimes they categorize the seven secondary bhavas as vyavacharis. Like that. So in that way you could just say the vyavicharis, you know, are transitory. Just like we can say anubhava, and that includes, you know, the effects of the and sattvika bhava, so that if you're just giving one general comment. So, yes.
The little difference between the vyavichari and the secondary bhavas will be like they sometimes overpower the primary sthayi bhava and then stay for a longer time.
Which ones? The secondary?
The secondary rasas. And then, but the vyavichari is generally the one which are constantly moving.
But they'll still go, because he's saying, are they innate part of the spiritual nature?
Yes.
So if we're taking innate, then none of them are. None of the 40 are, only the one is. But as you say, the vyavichari bhavas are always going to be more transitory, and the other ones may last a little bit longer. But in any case, when these secondary rasas, you know, become prominent, or the vyavicharas become prominent, they don't, the sthayi bhava is not removed.
Yeah.
It just becomes subservient to. In other words, you're tasting fear, but then subservient to that will be in the flavor of, let's say, parental, or as friendship, or like that. So it takes a back seat to it. But it's all in connection with, that's why they all work together with that. The sthayi bhava, that rati is the main thing. Yes. Do all the individual devotees possess the same bhava? Goswami, no. The devotees are naturally individuals. Therefore, the inclinations are particular and varied. According to the devotee's innate disposition, different bhavas manifest and acquire a diversity of character. In addition, the bhavas take on variegated shades depending on the conditions of the devotee's chitta, namely garishta, superior, lagishta, light, and gambhirya, grave. However, amrita, the nectar of devotion, is always fluid by nature, and is thus the intrinsic characteristic of the heart of all devotees. Right? So, that nectar of tasting the transcendental happiness and connection with Krishna, that's common to all. Right? But the particular details of that taste, based on the specific rati, and therefore then from that other aspects. So everyone's a unique individual, so it will have its own particulars. But the science of how these rasas work and how they relate to each other, that's the same. But the point is what's inherent to a particular individual, according to their specific relationship with Krishna. Right? So that's the point. Mukhya Rati, principal attachment. Gurudev, you have described the four bhavas, Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vyavichari Bhava. Amongst these four bhavas, was there a mention of Sthayi Bhava, permanent spiritual mellow? Right? Because he's giving as the ingredients, he's given these four. He hasn't discussed the Sthayi Bhava as the fifth. Right? Goswami, all the categories you have mentioned are all the different forms of bhava. From amongst them, the bhava that preeminently asserts itself like an emperor, embracing, controlling, and subjugating all other bhavas, whether congenial or conflicting, is the devotee's sthayi bhava. Right? So it's always going to be there. So we say, the one takes over, and that the other one never becomes lost. Otherwise, then who are you? Why would you be afraid? If you lose the sthayi bhava, then you don't have a particular rati with Krishna. Therefore, why would certain things happening to Krishna not give you a problem? Make you happy or sad, or create different moods, because you know. So the sthayi bhava always has to be there. It just may not appear to be so prominent. But does that make sense? So we have to always see that when we're dealing with these mechanical aspects, that we're not oversimplifying too much, and it's just this goes down, this comes up. Like no, but it's that the sthayi bhava is always there. It may take a background, but it naturally will take that position. but it's never lost, because without it, there's, you know, just like you have the floor. And on the floor, you can put rugs and this and that, so you can say the floor is covered. You don't even see the floor. But without the floor, none of the furnitures and that have a position. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's a yes.
We hear the stories that some of the devotees, which the Astai Baba is known to everybody,
right,
say like Narad or Shiva,
yes,
when they visit Braj, they get a complete separate form, like Sakhi form.
Mm-hmm.
So in connection to the Astai Baba, what is that form?
It means, as we see from the Brahma Samhita, it mentions that form is matching the mood.
Yes.
So in other words, whatever is their relationship with the Lord, when that's being applied through the environment of Braja, it will have take a particular flavor. So then there'll be a particular form that goes with it. So, but you're not hearing that with anybody else. Other people, it doesn't. We don't see that. I come, so when he came into Braj, didn't take another form. I mean, yes, he was given another form, but that was not his choice, right? So we just see this occasion, like we said, like in Lord Shiva or in Narad. But it doesn't mean that the other forms aren't there. It's just that those match nicely when they're working within Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? So it's just when they're in Braj, then it may take on that form. Because then, Lord Shiva then is that principle in which everything is being maintained and protected. So then he takes on that sort of place. So then Lord Shiva will be, what is it, Gopeshwar. Yeah. So being Gopeshwar, then that's there. But it doesn't mean his natural form is not there also. It's just that it works for here. So he and Narad would be in categories that you would, you know, just like you see the other way, when the Brajvasis, when they expand into Krishna's Leela, where he's expanded into Dwarka, then they take on different forms. And you'll see certain flavors and moods and that. Basically, it'll be the same, but because they're in an environment that's swakya and formal, then it will have a slightly different manifestation, just like Krishna when he takes on a form. So it's not any different than Krishna, according to the mood, then he takes on that. You know, it's not that Krishna can't swim, but, you know, for saving the Vedas, it's much more fun to just be a fish. You know, since swimming is what fish do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's the same principle, it's just you don't see it, everybody doing that.
Is it in the Lord of Muni is represented by Madhumanga in Braj?
Because that'll mean that's the original, and then it'll go down.
Yes.
So, but we're used to Narad Muni as Narad Muni, but it doesn't mean that Madhumangal's there, because you don't see that mood of Madhumangal generally with Narad Muni.
Right.
You know? Does that make sense?
Also, there is this point that Jiva Goswami mentions that in Vaikuntha and in Goloka, the Shantabhava doesn't exist on its own. It's always on subservient to other four bhavas.
In Goloka.
In Goloka, even in the Vaikuntha.
Oh, okay.
And
oh,
in Goloka specifically, even Dasya is also subservient, because primary are Sakya and Pastri.
Ah, that's very
so
interesting.
Even if they take a form, they're always acting as, in their position, as a subservient to the Madhurya mood, but they don't have a direct...
Okay. Yes. No, does that make some sense?
I'm not clear on that particular explanation.
Yes, okay. So, Jiva, where is this explained?
Preeti Sandra.
So, see, it's because we see, there's always talk about the five rasas.
Yes.
Then sometimes we see Rupa Goswami mentions four, because
yes.
Shanti he leaves out.
Yes.
Then sometimes he says three.
Yes.
So the three you can say are actually main rasas. Then the other two are subservient to those. They take part in the pastimes of enhancing those three rasas. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like the servants that are there, they're taking, they're enhancing either the parental rasa, or they're enhancing the cowherd boys when they come out, they do things at lunch or something like that. Or Vrindadevi has her Vana Devis who just assist, you know, in the past. Because otherwise, you don't see that there's a specific direct relationship other than that appreciation. You don't hear the Vana Devis into pastimes of Krishna and the Vana Devis. But they're there to assist.
Yes.
You know, or the cows are there, they're in Shanta, they assist in all the other rasas. So that's what he's pointing out here. So even if they do take on a form, because they're assisting in a particular rasa, that they take on a form that matches that rasa, it doesn't mean that their mood of either Shanta or servitorship changes. It's just they take on a form in which that can be expressed through that particular one.
So it's a transitory form, it's not an eternal form in itself.
Them not it's coming from that way, but at the same time as you do have that, because it's just like, does Krishna have a conch shell?
Yes.
Does he have it eternally?
Yes.
But we see that Varuna then told him, you know, about this demon. He went killed the demon and then prepared it, and that was his conch shell, Panchajanya.
Yes.
Yeah, you understand. So there's. When we have pastimes, that's the thing, the Purana and that, it always gives ways that within human pastimes you have a reason for it. Because in the human pastimes you always have to have a present and a future and a past. Even though in Goloka there isn't, but still it's about meeting Krishna. But that's still the whole thing, it's all happening in the present. Because, see, what happens for us is we have a moment, and that moment moves to the past. So therefore, it's past. But in the spiritual platform, there's a moment that it never leaves the present. But it has that feeling it was something done before with Krishna, even though the experience of it is still there now. You remember it, it's still in the present. Does that make sense? So there is only the present there. But the point is in the human pastimes, then this aspect of having past, present, and future, you know, working according to scriptures and having so many limitations and all that, it just creates more rasa. Because if everything's just there, Radha and Krishna are eternally together, sitting in that nice cloud with the Om sign, then what's the variety? You know, do we put neon lights on the Om sign, right? You know, like that.
This is Hindu idea of variety.
Yeah. And then you can change it, you know, it just flashes, or it goes alternates, or it goes through like that. You know, you have that, like a song. Yes, you put in a few little jala tarangas. Yeah, like that. So it says basically that's it. There's no obstacle. Even though we're putting that, there's no obstacle. You just do it. But we see is that then, so that means Vaikuntha is going to be ecstatic, but the intensity is not going to be as much as Goloka, where there's human obstacles. Vaikuntha, there's no obstacles. Right? There's variety, but no obstacles. But in Goloka, you see there's obstacles. Right? And so these obstacles add to it. And you see, you know, as you go with the friendship rasa, right, how much obstacles are there, right? Generally not. And if there is one, you just wrestle them to the ground and then obstacle over, and then you do what you want, right? Parental, there's a little bit more, right? Because there's some control about doing this, being good, growing up to be a good person and all that. And, you know, it's that, you know, it's that my house, my rules, and, you know, that kind of thing. But then, where's the most obstacles? Right? The conjugal rasa. Like that. How you say it. Any word you say can be used against you in a court of law, and can and will be used against you. It's the origin of the Marinda Act. Right? So it's not even just the word, it's how you said the word, how you phrase the word, the context of the word, you know, like this. And these are just the major areas. And then there's the ones that you never even heard of that somehow know that that's the new rule. Right? So how you say? You know, how you say? You said, means that word, that mood, was used in a conversation 5 years ago when you were discussing something on a vacation. And on that vacation, then the husband and wife were goofing about how people were dressed on the beach. Now, 5 years later, now dressed up, ready to go out, and you use the same term and the same mood in that, but you're meaning it, you know, as a nice thing. But it'll be connected back to 5 years ago where it was a negative connotation, and so therefore you don't like it. So unlimited permutations, it's like the bhavas. You have main bhavas, then you have unlimited permutations. Right? So which rasa gives the most intensity? Right? Kanjuga rasa. Right? And then, of that, then parakiya is standard, it's set. Swakya is not. So since it's not legal, that means there's no situation in which it's proper. Right? Swakya means out in public, yeah, you don't behave in a way that people tell you to get a room, right? So, but when you go home, now you can act as you like. Right? Then that, for at least far as the public goes. But in the in parakiya, there's no time that is allowed. So that means every time has to be. So it has more obstacles. It's more intense. Does that make sense? So the whole point is obstacles are what bring out the taste and depth and variety in rasa. So that's why we have to be very careful of, oh, we want to get rid of all disturbances, all pains, all this and that, because that's liberation. Or considering everything will just work wonderfully and all that with no obstacles in that in itself, that's Mystic City. So that's why one has to be careful of these things. So those are the subtle forms, you know, that you'll see, you know, that, oh, you know, it's so nice, I'm enjoying, you know, these things. Right? It's about my enjoyment rather than the enjoyment's there because I'm hearing about Krishna or seeing Krishna. So they're subtle. So those aspects of karma, jnana, and yoga, one has to be careful that they're not there. So that's why one doesn't discuss too much detail about the advanced pastimes. You know what I'm saying? When you're talking about, let's say, Govinda Lilamrita or Krishna Karinamrita, it's not that they're saying anything more than has been said in the Krishna book. It means anything that's in that's there that has already been introduced in the Krishna book. But in the Krishna book, it'll just touch on it because that's how much we can handle. You know, you say, yes, you know, he'll grow up, you know, he'll find a girl, he'll get married, he'll have children. That works fine. Everybody can talk about it. Now, I don't get down into details how he found the girl, you know, what they did, this and that. I don't get it. So the point is it's our Adhikar. It's not that, oh no, it's a higher level, it's more things, it's more... No, it's not more detail. It's a matter of bringing out the variety within the rasa. But because we're still seeing with karma and jnana, that's why we won't be able to take full advantage. Oh yes, okay, we can read Govinda Lilamrita. It will be a very nice book. And because it's new, we haven't read it before, you know, we read the Krishna book 100 times, you know, then it seemed new, fresh, this and that. But the point is our reading of it and what the Acharya's reading of it, that's like, you know, night and day. What is there? You know, that's like, you know, the old grandma getting into the Ferrari and ripping down the road at 5 kilometers an hour, like they do. Never getting out of first, right? Yeah. The only advantage, she doesn't have to stop at the toll booth because the car is so low that she just goes underneath that R. Right? You know, so the guy's just sitting there, okay, here comes Granny again. So, does that make sense? So, you're going to have that. So that means the intensity is there. So for the conjugal ras, now, conjugal ras is just the two of them and that, or there's the whole thing, the family. So families means you need parents. Right? Does that make sense? And then from within that, then you're going to have friends. Families are going to have servants. And they're all going to have facilities, the shanta aspect. You know, the cows, the trees, the, you know, those individuals who are in the rasa. So you see, is all that serving the conjugal rasa. So now what directly you see influences of conjugal rasa is going to be the first three. I mean, conjugal rasa, parental, and friendship. Servants just take part, and cows and that are just there. You know, it'll be an indirect aspect. Does that make sense? It doesn't have the direct. Coward boy walks up to you and talks. Coward boy can take a message. The parents are there. You have to be careful. They see things. Right? Other gopis that are not in your camp, you know, it has an effect. Does that make sense? So that's then what he's meaning by the first three are the actual, you could say, of the primary rasas, the five, they're the primary that the other two assist. You know, just like you have Brahma, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras assist. Right? Mm-hmm. So we're not saying they're Shudras, but we're just saying that principle of assisting. Mm-hmm. Right? Now within that, now a Shudra who assists a Brahmin, he knows Brahminical arts and sciences. You know, it's just like, let's say you have the Ayurvedic doctor. The one who does all the massage and all these kind of things like that is a Shudra. Not that the doctor can't do them, but he does all the things, but this one just does the massage. Or he knows how to grind the medicines and all that. He's a Shudra. But he knows Brahminical arts that he's serving. The Kshatriya, the Shudra for the Kshatriya, he knows the fighting arts. You know, the businessman, he knows the economic. You know, the guys could sit there and tell you, let's say the salesperson can tell you what's trending now, what to buy, what don't buy. No, they're not looking at these so much anymore. You know, but this one they're really getting into. You know, so he can tell you what to do. The account can tell you how much you have or not and where you could advance. And, oh, we put this much in and this much came back. They can look at all that, but they can't run a business. So in the same way as the cows and the servants on their own, what are they going to do? So they're all assisting. So even in as he says, so it's the same principles in Vaikuntha, but since everyone's in these two, what are they doing? They're assisting Krishna, Vaikunthanath and Lakshmi. So that's actually the main point, the focal point. Everyone else is just assisting them. You don't have any other kind of pastimes going on. Right? It's just Vaikunthapati is there with Lakshmi. Everybody's there doing services. They may take him in for his bath and the whole festival and umbrellas and that and blowing the conch shells and music, and then he sits on that asana, and then they remove everything from the mantra asana, and now they put new garlands and all that. He's dressed for the occasion. But it's all in context of everybody's just serving that. So everyone's servant. You know, even when you're dealing with five rasas, but there it's more obvious. So the Shanta and the other, they just serve or give background. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's then the specialness of the you see with Goloka, that now you've introduced others taking part in this primary level. While in Vaikuntha you don't have that, because they only have Shanta. Does that make sense? So you have to get up to that Goloka level, like Ayodhya and like that. You know, then you have brothers, this, that. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because let's say Sankarshan is there with the Chaturvyuha, but they're not seen like brothers or this or that. But in Dwarka, then you see brother, children, grandchildren. Like that. So.
Pretty amazing to consider Vaikuntha with no sugar at all.
Depends where you're from. Some people really like that. No screaming kids, no nothing.
No kids in Vaikuntha.
No, it's just, see, is that here, is that whatever your form is and all that, what you are there, that's another thing. You know, it means men or women can be men or women in there. But in Vaikuntha, you have a husband and wife. You know, he qualifies to go back to Godhead. She has a connection with him. They'll be husband and wife in Vaikuntha. Right? But it'll be perfect. They, you know, they won't have a problem living together eternally. So that's the difference. While in Goloka, it's not like that. You can be everyone's there, wherever they are. It means they'll be friends, but it doesn't mean. Okay, so I'll be on that. So, yeah, but there's no children. It's like in Vaikuntha. basically there's no children. And not Vaikuntha, the heavenly lotus. There's no children. You have a child, and there's a child there for a few, you know, a short time, you know, maybe a few hours, you can get into the bob, but, you know, how long can you sit there and be in the bob? You know, then they grow up and then walk off, you know, there you go. Same here, even the Rakshasas and like Ghatotkacha, you know, he's a kid for a little bit and then turns into this big monster, you know. you know, Rakshasa. So that's the way it is, Gandhar. Anything above humans, that's the way it works.
Yes. Even this past tense when the humans have a relation with somebody of Gandharva and all, they are entitled to have a relationship as long as the child is born. As soon as the wife is impregnated, he cannot stay anymore. Or
once the child is born,
they go.
Because the child grows up, this, that, unless they leave, and you're here, like Menaka left here, so Shakuntala, then she leaves.
Ganga.
Yeah, Ganga. Yeah, same. Yeah, so it's just one of those things. There's a very specific shelf life.
I would like to ask you a question that I only recently became curious about. In the Gokul pastimes, we see each one has the different rasas with Krishna, and each one can only see Krishna at a certain time. But we see that the demigods, they actually have more opportunities to always see Krishna's pastimes.
Yes, they can. But still, they can only observe. They can't take part in it.
What is their rasa? They can't see rasa lila. They see rasa.
But it's they're impressed. Right? You always say they're amazed, they're impressed. You know, that's in the Samaveda, all the ha, ooh, ha, ooh, ha, ooh. That's all them being amazed. That's what those words mean.
So, right? There's no rati.
Means, if it is, at best you get to, it's at this point, and then it's going to be shanta, you know, or dasya. But they don't have an entrance into that. So, in practical application, you could say it's shanta, they're appreciating. Like that. That's all. They appreciate. But they can't take it further. They want to take it further, then they have to qualify to take part in passing. Which you see, like the Deva Kanyas, that they come down and take part and become gopis. You know, like that. You personify Vedas and they come like this. So you can, but then you have to take that form and take part of it. But just watching, it'll just be shanta. Yes.
Even that description is given that unless one attained the first stage of Rati, even only then it can be called as Shanta Bhava on its own.
Yes.
Otherwise, before that, only the secondary rasas is what one is experiencing. The primary rasas start from when has the Rati. And when one goes to Prema, that's when there is a kind of possessiveness on Lord.
Mamata.
Yes.
Then you go to higher rasas otherwise.
Okay. Yeah. So that means before they're technically, because Prabhupada, you see in the third verse of the Bhagavatam, when it's talking about the prayojana aspects, then he's in the purport mentioning about the rasas, the five primary and the secondary. And he says in this material world, it's the secondary that people taste. You know, you'll have the base, you'll have a relationship based on these five, but actually what you're tasting generally is the seven. Like that. That's just, you know, what's going on. So it has to be. Because Krishna being rasa, it's only really in relationship to him that you get that depth that's there. Because otherwise it'll be transitory also, the flavor. Because like with Krishna, those rasas don't go away. But like us here, different moments will act in a different way, in a different aspect. It has those flavors within it so you can explain it. But at the same time, it's that taste. So those who are more advanced, then maybe an aspect of the Shanta. But otherwise, less than it's going to be. But until they get to Mamata, you can't go to a higher rasa. At least that's what the Bengali says. No? You don't get it?
No.
Mamata Banerjee.
Surrender.
Yes. Vote for this party if you want to develop. developed a track Rati for Krishna. You want to say in secondary Rati, okay, but if you want primary Rati, Mukya. Okay, so we're good on that?
Yes.
So then what's happening here? So that's okay. All the categories you have mentioned are the different forms of Baba. Amongst them, the Baba that preeminently asserts itself like an emperor, embracing, controlling, and subjugating all of the Babas, whether congenial or conflicting, is the devotee's Stai Baba. Right? So, all of the Babas, whether they are supportive of or not of the Stai Baba, is still the Stai Baba that's the main one. It subjugates all others. So we'll see is that the Vyamicharis and the other things, they come in and they're not necessarily supportive. But they create a flavor within it. You know? But you have to know how to deal with it. You know, it's like a chutney. You put all together conflicting rasas, but if you do it in the proper proportion, it gives a very nice flavor. Yeah. Krishna Rati, transcendental love of Krishna, situated within the heart of the devotee, Ashraya, is known as Stai Baba. When we discussed Ashraya previously under the topic of Samagri Baba, we placed Ashraya in the category of Alambana, basic cause, within the spectrum of Vibhava. In this way, we indirectly indicated the Stai Baba within the heart of the devotee. Right? Because the Stai Baba is going to be, it's that particular love for Krishna. But, so, he's saying he's indirectly mentioned it, because without that there, then the rest of it doesn't function. So then, as seeing it in the Lambana, means that aspect of a Lambana, that is going to be seen as a impetus. Right, because of that particular ashray and vishay, then that can be used in the impetus. So therefore, it has that reflection out of that representation in vibhava. So its main position is the stai bhava. Right, so it's, in other words, you have that relationship. That's the stai bhava. That it has that dynamic aspect of the interaction. That'll be the vibhava. Stai Baba, the predominant Baba, brings the rest of the Bavas under its sway and orchestrates varying Bavas to act as the central impetus in the creation of Rasa. So even though it's the central, it's the core aspect, it gets all the other Bavas to take a central position. Because let's say a Vyabhichari comes up, it may take on a central position. And so because of that mood, then the whole pastime starts to center around that aspect. Yes?
Can we say, even though here we only experience secondary, and in the spiritual world they experience primary, but still, whatever goes from moment to moment, it's always secondary, basically, even there?
Yes, it means it's because the Stai Baba is the main. What we're meaning is how much are we situated in that Stai Baba? Right? Let's say you have parents. Okay? At some point, parents disappear. At some point, you disappear. Whereas, like we see, is in both situations, where with Chitraketu and with Srivast Thakur, when the soul was called back into the body, and then he goes, "Who are you?" to his father. He says, "I'm your father." And then the soul says, "Which one?" You know. So how fixed is it? That's what I was saying. It's, you may have a relationship that is based on, but how much of the time is that conjugal aspect being tasted? You know what I'm saying? Because we get caught up in our duties and other things and our own personal interests and all those things, because for us the focus is not on Krishna, because that keeps, if you have a common goal, two opposing parties can work together. You know, it's just like, let us say in the Second World War. Okay. Now, for the Allies, you had Russia and, you know, Americans and the British and all that working together, right? Because they're allies against one common enemy, the Germans. When the war's over, now are they allies? No, now they're the sworn enemies. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is, or let's say in Afghanistan, right? Is that you have all these you know, local, what do they call them?
Tribes.
Tribes, yeah. They're fighting with each other tooth and nail. The Russians walk in, now they all get together, you know, and start, you know, biting the ankles of the Russians till they leave. And then as soon as the Russians leave, now they go back to normal and fight with each other. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is we have these common desires and all that, therefore we work on it. So we can't say it's really the main taste. It's not that it's not tasted, it's not that the primary aren't tasted, but they don't have that same aspect, that sty aspect. Otherwise, why is it people get together in a relationship and after they're best friends, you know, we went to school, like to see Drona and Drupad, then when they get older, they're not friends at all. You know, and then Drona is trying to establish that friendship and just makes them into enemies. So that's the whole thing, is that here you don't have that eternal nature of anything. So yes, you can say, you know, the couple, that's conjugal Ras, then they have a child, now it's parental Ras, and the children have friends, so that's the friendship Rasa, you know, like that. And, you know, the maid comes to the house and that's certainly like this. So you have all these different things. But at the same time, is that how long they're last and how much of a basis they are is always a problem. Like Hiranyakashipu is parental rasa with Prahlad, but you see Prahlad becomes the enemy. Then he's not at all in a parental mood anymore. But Arjuna, he's on the battlefield. All of them are there to fight and kill each other. And he's still thinking compassionate that they're family members. They're family, they're seniors, they're friends, they're like this. So why should we kill them? Because he's pious. So that's the thing. That's why Swargiya Rasa is higher. Because then you tend to work on these principles. So then the more pious, the more they can work on that. The less pious occasionally we work on that. You know, something happens, someone tells a story, you know, you hear some music or a certain situation, then, you know, the kind of these higher feelings of goodness come up and we taste some kind of flavor like that. Does that make sense? So here, it's not that all the 41 aren't there. It's just that they don't have a natural sty aspect, because each person you have a different relationship with, and that's all. What's the grounding? Well, the spiritual, you have the sty bhavas with Krishna. Then, based on that, now you have a relationship with everybody else. Well, here, it's just you have a relationship with yourself. The sty bhavas, your pure, unalloyed love and devotion for yourself. Like that. And so then everybody else is seen in the context of that. And so then the problem is we're saying we have a relationship with someone else, but on the material platform, it's based on how much you're allies. And when that you know, aspect is not favorable anymore, then we see that it's not so strong anymore, the relationship. You know. Does that make sense? It's very much dependent upon the environment. So we see the spiritual world as the environment. Yoga Maya changes the environment, it changes the taste. But that's a variety within an eternal position. While here, the situations are changing, and it's just going from one temporary to the next. It appears as though it's variety, but it's just temporary. That's why we say it's illusion. Well, there, the variety is not illusion. It's variety within the sty aspect. Does that make sense? So we can see is that the tastes that are here are inferior to the tastes that are there. So that's why the Vedas talk so much about duty. Because otherwise, depending upon your realization or the mood you're in that day, or you know, whether your hair is cooperating or not, or you know, whatever, then you may deal differently. But the duties means you'll always deal in an appropriate way that's proper. In other words, you'll always deal in a way that will not break down the relationship. You know, and that's practice for the principle of always acting in the context of Krishna. Because here we don't have a sty bhava. So therefore you have to have the duties. There, because they have the sty bhava, the duties follow the sty bhava. That's why it's spontaneous. You know, or it'll be formal at this Vaikuntha. But still, if you have the thing and then you have the duties to go with it. Because in other words, they're following the rasa. While here there's no rasa, so you just have the duties. And that will at least make the form not crazy. All the people on the planet can live together cooperatively with each other, with nature. you know, with the animal, and it will go smoothly. Doesn't mean that people will still be here. It's only when they become God conscious they'll go back to Godhead. Does that make sense? So the reflection here is reflected means that there's these particular weaknesses. They don't actually function. Like your reflection in the mirror is a temporary thing. But what's reflected in the mirror, that's not temporary. You walk around the house, there's no reflection in the mirror. Are you still there? But when you stand in front of the mirror, then you can go, hey, beautiful. You know, all that kind of stuff.
On this point that when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that for the Rati, the basis is the pleasure of other person, then he mentions that even in material world, sometimes we see apparently a person is acting for selflessly for other's pleasure.
Yes.
But actually the underlying principle is he still knows that if he acts for other's pleasure, then he will be pleased.
Yes.
So...
Yeah.
So because of that, it's still limited.
Yes, it's still limited. But at least you're following the form of what's proper. Like, because nowadays sometimes it's brought down, oh, it's artificial, so just throw it out. But then that means anything's artificial. Me not liking your car and taking it, then not taking it is artificial. We go down to it, then you just end up with caveman. So this whole idea is, no, we're being natural and doing whatever we want and whatever our heart feels and all that. Then you take that to its fullness, you get animal society. So there has to be the regulation so that relationships and all that are there, you know, for this lifetime are maintained properly and appropriately. But yes, like you say, it's always, or I like the taste of being a nice guy. You know, it's either I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer, or I'm the friend. So philanthropic work means I'm the friend. You know, you're back at the company, you're the controller. The facility you get from that, you know, you're out on your yacht and that, you're the enjoyer. And then, because, you know, you want to maintain the profile as part of the community, so therefore you give it charities, you're the friend.
So ultimately it's the karma sharia that is blocking one from...
Yes, the karma sharia is the problem. That's why when we talk about, you have to cultivate the linga sharia by, you know, good qualities and this and that, that will make bhakti work. No, it's not. If you cultivate bhakti, you reduce the karma sharia. That the effect of that, then these qualities naturally come up because they're there in the soul. Like when it says the innate part of the original spiritual nature and personality of the devotee means all those qualities are there, they're covered now. So we have those qualities. So it's not that you're creating those qualities. That's the idea. Oh no, we have to create these. He doesn't have a nature, we have to create that. No, you have to purify and uncover it. Right? In the external, yes, you have to work and get that by karma. But by devotion, you just uncover it and the natural comes through. You know, it's just like, let's say we have a dirty mirror. So therefore, I have to make it, you know, the mirror's supposed to be sparkly and reflective. So therefore, then I on this dirty mirror that you can't see anything reflected, I start sticking little shiny little, you know, little dots on there like that. And so I kind of get a little bit, I can kind of see myself. You know, so that's the economy. Our way is just clean the mirror. And then they naturally see. Yeah? Okay. Also, you see, is when they're talking about all these nice things like that, it's always said so poetically. So that's just a natural thing, because they appreciate sort of seeing how it all comes together and all that. Simultaneously, the remaining bhavas may be engaged to play the role of assistance for the particular bhava acting centrally. Right? So that means the sthayi bhava is orchestrating, you know, based on its own position, the other 40 bhavas becoming the central bhava. And when those other 40, one of those 40, let's say, become the central bhava, that then the pastime or the flavor is rotating around, the other 39 circling around that one, subservient to that. Does that make sense? So, here is that it appears that the sthayi bhava has become subservient, but that's it's an elective aspect. The other ones, they're being controlled by the sthayi bhava. And so then you have something come up and it'd be prominent, and then all the others will support that, you know, and it appears that the sthayi bhava is also, but it's the support for all of them, it's the one controlling them all. And then it will change from one, it'll move into the other. Like you see, as Rupa Goswami was mentioning, why the Avicharis, you only mention these 33, because you can say, what about these things? You're showing that, you know, the points mentioned, they're all subservient to these 33. From any one of the 33, that can transform into this, into this, into this, and naturally come around back to itself. They're all part of the one 33. So you know, otherwise, like we said, you know, 33, and then some of them had 4 or 5 or something like that. You know, yes, these 297, you know, yeah, but no, it's already a problem. 33 is already a problem. You know, so, does that make sense? So then, each one of these, as they transform to the other, something else becomes prominent, and this and that. But as one becomes prominent, the others are subservient to that. Then if something else comes up, then it becomes that. So you see in the pastime, that's why there's etiquette. You know, we don't know, but if you're going by the flow of the mood, the spontaneity, as one thing comes up, everything else becomes subservient. But our idea is, you know, you ever seen when somebody starts talking and telling a story that's far out, and someone else starts talking and telling a similar story that's far out? You know? Yeah, you know, one time we were out doing that. Yeah, we did that also. And they tried to take over. So you know, I mean, of course, these guys, they don't have anybody else that can tolerate them doing that, so they're called friends, these guys. But they're not actually that great of friends. You know, because they can't even listen to each one of them tell a story and be happy that he's the center of attention. You know? So that's the difficulty, is that it's just natural that there'll be, as one comes and then when it finishes, the other one will come up. But it's just the etiquette is there so that one finishes its natural course, then the other comes up. Because that's why you see it comes in, then it creates the conflict, then it becomes resolved, and then it disappears. So that's just naturally how everything comes. So as it comes up, and then it takes, and then everybody else, and then it goes down, and then the other one comes up, and then, right? Does that make sense? So if they take over too much, or it goes out, and it doesn't harmonize, and all these things, you know, then you won't call these individuals friends. It's only those who, whatever the emotions that come in, can be harmonized and can go, and there's a balance. And you can, you know, you may be prominent, they may be prominent, or it's always set that you're prominent, or always set that they're prominent, or, you know, or if it's equals, it'll go back and forth, you know, like that. Or whatever it is, it goes in and it becomes confidential. Does that make sense?
It's interesting, because when you look at any pastime, you always wonder who is controlling in this situation. Who is being, you know, object and subject? Is this Krishna controlling this, or is this the gopis or the karmic boys? Who is controlling? Mother Yashoda is controlling.
Yeah, but it's always
putting the strings on.
Yeah, that. I mean, of course, Yoga Maya is pulling.
Yeah.
To for Krishna, but you see, is let's say Krishna, the gopis are picking flowers. Then Krishna walks in with a few karmic boys, you know, Sridham and Sudam and that, and says, you know, what's going on here? You know, these are my flowers. Who, you know, you're thieves taking my flowers. So now that mood now becomes the prominent aspect. Because conjugal is the basis of it, but now they're talking about, you know, something of indignation or this or that, and that takes the prominence like that. And then the gopis, you know, there's a moment where it's like that, and then they, you know, whatever it is, then there'll be something, you know, there. And then having that gone down and that resolves, then Lalita will step forward and say, what do you mean? You know, this and that, this is our forest and this and like this, and then she becomes the prominent. And it all centers around her, and others give support of that and move. Then you know, Sridhar will go, no, but you know, my friend here, you know, his father is, you know, his, so this is all his and this and that, and so therefore, then he becomes the center like that. And then someone, another gopa will come and says, what are you talking about? This, what is this place called? It's called Vrindavan. It means it belongs to Vrinda, right? And so therefore, it's like this or that. And then they say, no, but Vrinda is married to Krishna, and so therefore that makes it his again, like that. And all the gopis, like, what? You know, now because Vrinda said, you married this guy? You know, you didn't tell us about this? You know, so you see, it's each time it's just, if the center moves, and what's the mood that is, so there may be a predominant flavor. You know, and then that'll change, and it'll go into laughing, and it'll go into that, and then, you know, like this, and, you know, so that's the thing, is that the Amacharyas will just naturally move around, and whichever one comes up, it's the prominent one, it's the central, and all the others support that, you know? Like, he's coming up, and Krishna's, you know, so proud, and all this, and then the gopis might be a little afraid, or a little annoyed, or a little this, that's subservient to his, so he, that full taste is there of his having that, but then as soon as Lalita steps forward, and Bili, that mood, yeah, is subservient to the mood she's creating. You know, and then the gopis, instead of being that, now they become confident, you know, and then, does that make sense? So all the, everything that the flavor is going is that the sthayi bhava is the basis, because what's going on there, it's an interaction based on kanjo. Right? But you take it that what is prominent, and everything else goes according to that. But if you know the science, you know what goes with what. You know, it's just like in our temple, the temple president, when he was a brahmachari, then he was working in the kitchen, and, you know, and this other lady was working in the kitchen, and this and that, and somehow or another, I don't know, they'd step on each other's toes and really get in each other's way. And so in the kitchen, as I don't know about other places, but happens to be in these, a lot of times, older houses in America, that the door to the basement is in the kitchen. Because kitchen's kind of the utility area, and then if there's other things you can keep, you know, you have a storage, you can keep all your, it's like your, what do you call it, cellar. You can keep stuff down there, and need wood for the fire. So it's natural it's going to be there rather than the bathroom or the living room, you know. And so then he got so upset one day, he tossed her down the stairs into the basement. Like that. Right? So you know where it's going. Right? A short time later, they were married. So the brahmacharis think, wow, he really hates her, and she's really, wow, I like that. But people who know the science go, oh, okay. Because otherwise, what's the relationship based on? Why are they fighting? What, over what?
Mutual attraction.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing. So that's where it is. You don't see the sty, but it's not that it's not there. It takes a subservient position. Does that make sense?
It's far out.
Yes. Yeah. This happened before I joined the temple. We were in the kitchen one day. I don't know. Somebody told, you know, who was there, who must have been longer than us. They told the story. So.
Many things happen in Eastern kitchens.
Yes, yes.
It's paraphernalia rooms.
Yes, yes.
No wonder it might be still being told in it.
Could be. Still being told. Still being told. Although sthayi bhava is the ashvadhyan rupa, the cause of tasting spiritual mellow, it is also the ashvadhya rupa, the object of relish. In solitude, deeply contemplate the nature of sthayi bhava, and thus analyze the distinctive features that separate sthayi bhava from the other bhavas. Rati born of sthayi bhavas of two kinds, mukhi rati and gona rati. Right, so you see, it's the cause of tasting, but it's also the object of tasting. So it has these two aspects. Right, so therefore, it's the object of tasting, the sthayi bhava is what's being tasted. That relationship, it's your relationship that's being tasted. But you see, it's also the cause, so therefore, as the ashraya, it's the cause. Right? So that's why it could be explained with Vibhava and that. It's already being represented there. Because otherwise, the dynamic aspect of the Vibhava is the Udipan. But at the same time, is that Udipan has meaning because of the Alamba, the Ashraya and Visha. Because if that's not there, what points are going to be noticed, or what's important? Yes.
In Sahitya Kaumudi, Baldeva Devushan explains that this is the reason why we have explanation like sthayi bhavas and then again rasas. Though eight are same, though they are still like no mukhya, and there are 12 five primary rasas and five primary ratis, because when it is becomes the object of tasting, that's when it becomes rasa. When it's a cause, it's still a rati.
Yeah, does that make sense? So that's why sometimes you see, remember we were discussing before, is that sometimes they mention rati and sometimes rasa, and it's confused, because technically we would just make them all one thing, but they're actually, you can, as he says, in solitude deeply contemplate the nature of Sthayi Bhava, and thus analyze the distinctive features that separate Sthayi Bhava from the other bhavas. Then you can see that there is a difference, and because of that you can appreciate the flavors, right? Because, see, it's like, generally we're looking at it, okay, you have all these mechanics and all these things, that's nice, but you see as we start to appreciate them, you can see as the pastimes are just going on these things. That's what's going on. These are just the mechanics in the background. But you can actually see. It means the taste is there. The central point is the taste. So the spontaneity is the taste, not the knowledge. So a lot of times we think, no, if I know more knowledge, then I'm on the spontaneous platform because I know all this knowledge. It's like, no, you're not. It has nothing to do with that. It's the taste of it that gives. That's why it says the gopis are not learned scholars, but they're tasting. And the great learned scholars, they can't understand. So that's the whole point. Just because I read these things, I read the various books and all that, doesn't mean that it puts me on the spontaneous platform. Even if I understand it, doesn't mean. It's when it's appreciated that it can be tasted. That's the point. That's where the spontaneity. You go to taste, like you're eating, right? And when you eat, then you put a little bit more of this sauce, you put a little bit more salt, or this or that. How is that working? Because of rules? Because of taste. Yes, the rule is if it's less salt, you put more salt. You know, if it's more dry, you put more sauce. That's there. That's the rule. But the point is what's the point of doing it? I'm not looking at, oh, it's very dry, I put more sauce. Oh, it looks, the vegetable is too crisp, but must not have enough salt, so I put a little more salt. But the point is there any taste in that? Other than I know things, I'm getting things done, so it's just a taste of jnana and a touch of kriya. Right? But the flavor, the rasa, is that you're following the taste. You're tasting it. And the taste, it needs a little more of this, so you put that in. It needs a little bit more of that. That's put in. So they just naturally go through these things and all that. And that's why then you learn in their association how it works, what pleases Krishna. Because otherwise, we can put it together how we like, but then it's how Krishna likes it.
The side point. In most of the Indian cooking, whenever they give it, they say salt, you put as much as required. But the first time when at least the men cook, it's like freaking out. How much salt to put? Everything is measured, but this one, it's never given in measurement.
Yes, correct.
But at home, like mothers put always.
Yeah. Yes.
When Srila Prabhupada explains that the gopis, they're not scholars, they haven't been educated that way.
Yes, yes.
In their swarup, they know everything.
Yes.
And even though what's prominent with them is spontaneity, when Uddhava tries to preach to them on the philosophical level, they're very learned scholars to fight back.
Yes, but where is it coming? It's coming from the natural what's there.
Yeah.
They, it's not coming from the platform of logic and argument and knowledge. It's coming from the platform of realization.
Right.
So that's why it's so easy for them.
Yes.
Like for us to become, we'd have to know so much to be able to argue and all that. But it's just like this. Let us say, you have these debates, Prabhupada with a disciple, over, Mayavadis or Darwinism or, some, thing like that. And, someone who knows a little bit about the subject and they take the other side and always argue. So, now, for us, and we'll think, Prabhupada knows so much, that's how he's able to defeat. But you'll see, it's always in context of Krishna. Oh, no, it's just happening by chance. No, Krishna's arranging it. They're saying only the species, they come about, there's an evolution. No, Krishna created them all at once. You know, so then you're going to give the example, since Krishna created all at once, is that you say, oh, it's an evolution, but if the lower forms are there and they evolved into the higher, then the lower ones would be disappeared because survival of the fittest, why did it transform like that? In other words, if you can have humans and monkeys, then what's the meaning of survival of the fittest? Because the point is to become a human, the monkey need to become a human to survive, then the ones that weren't human would have died off. You know? And that's with everything, protozoa. That means there'd be nothing left except humans walking around.
Yeah.
You know, no plants, no trees, nothing. No animals, just you know, bare earth. Bare earth and humans. That eat dirt. Yes.
In this context, like Jiva Goswami mentions that sometimes it may be thought that those who are in Shantaras, who are considered as like, you know, scholars and they surrender because of their knowledge, they are seen, apparently they may be thought that they have more knowledge than those who are in higher rasas. But then he argues from the point that if they have more knowledge, then why are they not able to go near Krishna and understand what he needs or what he wants? The people, other people, they know what Krishna wants. They can read his mind. They have more knowledge about Absolute Truth.
Yes.
Than
yes.
The others.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. Why bhakti is considered as secret knowledge.
Yes, the rahasya. Okay. You also see is that the acharyas are able to, based on their that realization of Krishna, they're able to explain everything in the Vedic literatures. But we notice that there's the the concept that we'll say is that that's not very how you say scholarly. Like Prabhupada's books, everything is being discussed. There's nothing that's not being discussed. He doesn't shy away from anything with anybody. But because it's just being presented from that natural spontaneous platform, we take it as just very simple and ordinary. Now, we see is that for to argue on that platform, then just they themselves in their natural, you know, position, their natural love for Krishna is what is it powers that. But we see is that Srila Jiva Goswami, even though he has that, he, you know, went to Varanasi, I've heard, for I think 20 years.
20 years.
And studied logic so that he could present it from the logical angle. Means whatever they're saying without that logic is logical. But the point is it doesn't look logical to the mundane mind that works on just rhetoric and these kind of things. So therefore, then 20 years of study, then he presents it like that. Then we see is that, you know, when we start to study it, then it starts to become a problem. Right? Because how he can take one word and analyze it in 10 different ways, and that's syllable by syllable, you know, then you know, that's logic. So that's the thing, is that it can be presented, and the acharyas can do that, because they all know logic. It's just Jiva Goswami then specifically specialized, because once he's written all that stuff, everybody else can then talk normal, like that, to, you know, explain it. So, when you have Jiva Goswami, in other words, Prabhupada says this, we'll go, no, but what about, you know, the logic or not? Now we take the same thing, present what Jiva Goswami has said on the same point. They'll go, wow, well, what does that mean? Now we restate what Prabhupada said. Oh, okay.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
You know, and then it's like, okay, so it is logical.
That's why Prabhupada often ends up his purple. Therefore, the conclusion is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And you'll see is that they use the logic, but they lose it, because you have to remember is that they're poets, not dry philosophers. Like, dry philosophers will always mechanically explain it in exactly the same way.
Yes, there's a system.
And so, the acharyas will use the same system, but because of poetics, it will just flow from one to the other that you don't even notice. Like, it was only when I started looking at this, I noticed that generally in these bigger purports where Prabhupada's using the full logic, that at the end you'll see either a therefore and a thus.
Yes.
So, but they'll be both there, but whichever one's first, that's the Upanayana, and then the second one is the Siddhanta. But you'll see as he uses it. It means, if you want to know what Prabhupada's saying in this purport, read the first sentence, read the last sentence.
Exactly.
And that's what's going on, because that's according to Mimamsa. That's what, how you know. Then you see, is that what does he bring out? What does he give examples of? What does he emphasize? You know, so then you know these are important. And so it's the standard point. They're using all that, but because of them being poets, it goes so smoothly, it doesn't become that dry academia. So those who are attached to the dry academia, they'll say, oh, it's not, the taste is not here. So then they'll read this one and that one and everything like that. But it's just like, you know, what compares, just like here he's saying here. Stai Bhava, the predominant Bhava, brings the rest of the Bhavas under its sway and orchestrates various Bhavas to act as a central impetus in the creation of rasa. That's poetic. But if we don't appreciate it on that level, then we have to, you know, read modern poetry or Shakespeare or somebody. Then we'll get that taste of just that mundane aspect. Does that make sense? And we see as the spontaneity is appreciated more. You know, so much poetry is there, but the ones that's able to use more spontaneity lasts longer. Right. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so Rati born of Stai Bhava is two kinds, Mukhi Rati and Gona Rati. Vrajanath, what is Mukhi Rati? Goswami, earlier in our explanation of Bhava Bhakti, we described Rati of the Shuddha Sattva category. That is the Mukhi Rati, to which we are now referring. Mukhi Rati is divided into two, Svarta and Parartha. Svarta Rati nourishes itself with the help of all congenial bhavas. However, opposing bhavas produce its diminution. Prarartha Rati contracts itself to accommodate both congenial and opposing bhavas. There is another higher division of Mukhi Rati into five types, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Just as the sun rays produce many colors of light when passing through different varieties of quartz, similarly, Shuddha Rati produces distinct and various symptoms when passing through the different shades of Stai Bhava. Yeah, so interesting is that we would take, oh, Shanta, Dasya, and all that, because it's like, okay, that's there. And then these more technical, higher stuff, the Swarta and Parartha. But it's actually saying, oh, that's the lower, that's just the generic. Then it takes on that specific individual flavor. Like that. So in other words, Svarta is when it nourishes itself and there's other ones that naturally support it. But then you'll also see is that the Prarartha, then it has something that's opposing. It can nourish it or the ones that are there. So you see both. Like you see something, like we were saying, with those discussions between Krishna and the gopis. There'll be so many flavors that are opposing that are just coming up. So that's the Vyabhicharis. They have that aspect they're opposing. So the Parartha will able to accommodate the opposing. While the Swarta just goes on nicely with the ones that are naturally go with. Does that make sense? Brajanath, Srila Goswami. What is this Shuddha Rati, pure love? Goswami. Principal Shuddha Rati is divided into three types. Samanya, general, Svacha, clear, and Shanta, peaceful. Samanya Rati is the attachment of people in general feel for Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Right, so that's how you get what we were discussing before. That would explain the Rati of the demigods. Like that. Because it's just general. Krishna's pastimes are wonderful. So they control the universe. They know what goes on here. Krishna's doing something beyond that. So it's going to be amazing to them since they deal with these things. Right? However, in dedicated devotees, Mukhi Rasa takes on a variety of transcendental moods towards Krishna according to the particular devotee's innate spiritual disposition. When such Krishna Rati passes through the devotee's pure Rati, it is called Svacha, clear or transparent. Devotees infused with such Rati sometimes see Krishna as the Almighty Master and glorify Him with prayers in the mood of Dasya. Otherwise, they see Krishna as their friend and joke with him in the mood of Shakya. Alternatively, they think of Krishna as their son, who is to be fondled and protected with parental care in the mood of Vatsalya. Then again, in the Madhurya mood, they see Krishna as their contact, lover, and feel exhilarated in his company. In addition, sometimes in Brahman Ratnarati, they lovingly meditate upon Krishna as the supreme super soul within their heart. In Shatarati, devotees with Rati meditate upon Krishna as Paramatma and achieve transcendental consciousness characterized by peacefulness and equal poise. So does that make sense? So basically he's going to have a generic rasa of the people in general feel for Krishna. Right? So you general people who appreciate Krishna, what they rati they feel. Because there's some attraction. You hear pastimes, you hear that you go see the deities, there's a festival, there's an abhishek, there's a kirtan. So that is a rati, that there is an attraction, but it's samanya because it's general. So then when that becomes very clear, like that, with no obstacles in it, then it takes on the mood of the four rasas, like that. And then you have the other aspect is the shanta, in which there's the aspect of you see him as the super soul and meditate upon him and things like that. And so then you'll have that aspect of peacefulness and equal poise. Yes?
So shanta, is it general or specific meditation on a specific form of the Lord?
It could be either. Oh. I'm sure it'll be described. The other point is that they can either have very specific form, let's say Nrisinga, and they'll see all other deities connected to him, like that, or maybe they just appreciate the Lord himself and then all the pastimes and his incarnations. But there'll generally always be a central deity. You know, Vishnu takes all these forms, and Nrisinga takes all these different forms, and Krishna takes all these forms. So they'll generally always be, but it's focused on the Supreme Lord, like that. And so that's what he says, as Paramatma. So they're generally seeing that feature. He's a person, but the point is he's as the Supreme, he's doing that. So that's why they see, you know, everything's pervaded, everything's connected to him, everything's going on. And that much they see. The we see is the Brajvasis also, they see the gopis, see the sun, or they see the moon, or things like that, or see the trees. It reminds them of Krishna and as the person, and then the pastime and that connect with it. So they'll get to the Bhagavan feature. So when they think of Paramatma, he's a person, but it's not as much about his own particular taste and all that. It's just about how he is the Supreme, is doing all these amazing things. So for the one is, they're seeing the connection with the Lord and the taste that's coming from that connection. You know, it's connected to the Lord, but, you know, he's a person, but it's not about the pastimes as much. There may be pastimes, but it's focused on him being the Supreme and doing amazing things. While for say the Brajvasis, they may, from that same position, then it brings right up to Krishna and the pastimes and goes in like that. So they take it further into the Bhagavan. So it's not that seeing Krishna everywhere they don't see. It's just that they don't situate themselves there. It's the shanta. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in other words, the jnana and the kriya shaktis are there just to support Krishna's pastimes. And they're all expansions from him anyway. So they're appreciating that jnana and kriya aspect as the prominence. And it's the person that it's coming from, so the person is very special. Does that make sense? So the arrangements and this and that. So, you know, all the udipans and all that. So it's all these aspects that are what are prominent for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, then they go farther forward. Then it's the person himself, what he's exactly doing, the relationships and the tastes and all those things. So it's just a further depth. So that's why you see the shanta, in one sense, is on its own. And then the other four, then they're, you know, because there's that sense of possession. Well, the shanta, there's not. It's just he's the Supreme Lord. And he's that, how can he possess? We're part and parcel, that's all. And there's no need in their rasa. They're satisfied. But then when you get into the possession, then you want to render some particular service. The other one, appreciation, is a service. You can also do a service, but it's appreciation is the main thing. And so then, that's why then those four are separate from the one, the shanta. But then you see, as the previous discussion, then is then the prominent rasas are going to be the first, conjugal, parental, and friendship. And even the servitorship is assisting those three. So in that way, then you can categorize shanta and servitorship in one group and the other three in the other group. So either all five together, or one and four, or two and three. Depending upon what you, it's going deeper and deeper as you go. Does that make sense? Talking about generic, there's a thing, then that's what I say. Then the principle is divided into three types. You have the rati, but then you divide that. Because it'll be a generic, just you appreciate Krishna. It's clear, then you see exactly a particular rati in relation to Krishna. Or it's just peaceful, shanta. You see everything connected to Krishna, and you're very peaceful and equipoised in that position. So, good. Shuddha rati is again divided into two. Kevala rati, exclusive, and Shankula rati, mixed. In Kevala rati, only one mood of rati is in full play, without the intrusion of any other. This exclusive mood is exhibited by the residents of Braja, such as the servants like Rasala, friends like Sridhama and Sudhama, and by Guru Gana, superior personalities such as Nanda Maharaj. When a mixture of two or more rasas is played within the rati of devotee, we speak of Shankula rati. Uttava, Bhima, Radharani's elderly maid, Mukara, are examples of devotees of Shankula rati. So it'll have a mix of that. Like Uttava is friendship, and also I think it has some parental and servitorship inside. Yeah. Like that. And Bhima will be, because he's elder, so it'll have that thing to take care of, it'll be friendship. Like that. I'm not, or was it the other? I don't know. Whatever. It'll have some mix there. Right? And the elderly maid, so it'll be servitor, but at the same time it appears that maybe she get, you know, the other moods are there. And so, like that. So you have the Kevala or the Sankula mixed. And so you're going to have the greatest intensity in when there's one, because there's no intrusion of another. Because the one goes, but if the other one comes in, then it'll change it, the flavor. So it can only go a certain depth. Rajana, now I'm eager to hear about the symptoms of Dasya Rati. Goswami, Dasya Rati is evoked within the devotee when he considers with a reverential attitude, Krishna is my Lord and I am his servant. Those devotees who are firmly attached to this Rati are not charmed by anything of this world. Right? Because they're already going beyond everything, so it's just they only see service. Vrajana, what are the qualities of Shakyarati? Those devotees who consider Krishna as their equal and have unflagging faith and absorption in this rasa towards him possess Shakyarati. In the mela of Shakyarati, there is joking, laughing, and similar activities of friendship. Right? So he's showing the main flavor that's there and then the main basis of the relationship. Like that. So it's nice, in just one sentence, say, explain it. So that's what we're saying, is that they know the flavor, they can just say it in a sentence. But at the same time, as you could take any one of those sentences and give 10 pages of very technical detail, then we'll say, okay, now that's academic, right? Now, could you just summarize it and then get back to the sentence again?
There's three levels, junior, peer, and
old. Yes. That'll be a flavor within it, but this is the general, the unflagging faith, absorption of rasa, as an equal. But it's equal with a touch of this, and that, you know, like that. It just means, like, you have friends, if he's a little bit of an elder friend, or he's a little bit of a younger friend, or he's an exact equal, or he's a confidential. Like, if you think about it, friends, all the friends that you have, how many of them are exactly equal?
None.
I have one.
Sure.
Like that. Like that. Everybody else is either superior or junior or confidential. And confidential would be few. Yeah. You know? So that's the whole thing, is that you're going to have that these things are kind of rare. That's why you see is that there's so many others, and then Sridham stands out because he's exactly equal. So that's why you see how they deal, they're exactly equal. So many pastimes you'll see, and Sudama will be confidential. So you'll see pastimes where Krishna will go, he'll take Sridham and Sudham with him. Ones who are senior to him can't go with certain pastimes, and juniors, like if he goes with the gopis, he can't take those two, but he can take those who are equal and those who are confidential. So you'll see sometimes Sridham and Sudham have that Radhakrishna pastimes. Because, just because of the nature. So, but it's still within this point of that they're equals. It's just a matter of how equal. You're equal, but, it's like, all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others.
Some are more equal than others.
You know, it's like if you belong to that, what is that, Knesset?
Knesset, yes.
Yeah, you're a little more equal than everybody else. Does that make sense? So those are finer details. That's what we're saying. You can keep going. But the essence is that there's that unflagging faith and absorption of the rasa as that. They never at any time doubt that he's not their friend. But you'll see is that in Dwarka, they may be friends, but he does something amazing that there's a doubt. They immediately go into Dasya Rasa. So that's the whole thing. It just doesn't leave. Yes.
Also, there is this aspect that faith transforms into that... In the Sakya Rasa, whatever is the Lord's mission, it is his mission.
But
Dasya, it's out of reverence. They cannot take his mission as their mission. It's can do, but he cannot do.
Yeah. That's just like, because that's the meaning of, also in Sakyam of that nine processes, is that the Lord's mission is preaching, so therefore it becomes our mission. We must preach. Because you do what the Lord does. That's the friendship. And then here, joking, laughing, and similar activities, the friendship. That's how the expression. All that you see is that Krishna is my Lord and I am his servant. The firmly attached to this rati are not charmed by anything in this world. So nothing interests them because they're just a servant. Like as if you're a servant, you're in a house. You'll say you're in Richmond's house. To be a perfect servant, nothing in the house can attract you. You just perfectly work with it in service to, he is my Lord and I am his servant. If they're attracted by it, then to that degree they're attracted. To that degree, they're not really good servants. What is the characteristics of Vatsalya Rati? Goswami. Persons senior to Krishna shower kindness and love upon him in Vatsalya Rati. The characteristics of this Rati is a protective mood in which the guardians look after Krishna. Perform auspicious rituals for his protection and welfare, offer him their blessings, fondle him with affection, and so on. Right? So these are just the natural things that come up. So that's what you expect to see. It's also here, inherent in rasa, you expect if someone's in this, that they'll do these things. Just like if he's a friend, you can joke and laugh. If someone's always so serious you can never joke and laugh, you wouldn't consider them a friend. Right? Does that make sense? So these are the inherent elements that make the rasa what it is. Vrajana, kindly also describe Madhurya Rati Lakshanam, the nature of attachment in the conjugal mela. Goswami, when the Vraja Gopi's love for Krishna is prompted by the eight types of sambhoga, enjoyment, such as smarana, remembrance, darshana, sight, and so on, this mela is called Madhurya Rasa. This rati is expressed by such means as kataksha, sidelong glances, briukshepa, longing amorous glances, priya, vani, sweet words, and hasya, laughing and joking. As one moves from shanta to madhurya, the rati is increasingly relishable and blissful. According to their elevation in bhakti, these moods are eternally present in the pure devotees. Thus, briefly, I have enumerated the five kinds of mukya rati principal attachment. I would hear where it says after laughing and joking, it says as one moves.
Mm-hmm.
Make that into a new paragraph. Because that's the conclusion of everything else he said.
Yes.
And So we see is the conjugal has a little bit more technical point. The one is this, I am the servant. The other one, he is my friend. You know, like that. And the parental is, I take care, so I do these particular things. And then the conjugal means this, they encompass eight types of sambhog. So they're remembering, so they're going to see that this, that, so has a little bit more fineness.
Maharaj, sometimes you hear that the cows are in Vatsalyaras, and I wanted to check if the example I'm giving you is proper. When Krishna kills Putana, and Mother Yashoda runs and grabs Krishna, and she wants to protect him, the first thing she does is she gets cow dung and cow urine.
Right.
So the cow dung and cow urine is an object of protection for Krishna.
Right.
Is that a proof that the cow is in Vatsalaras?
If we go back to our first discussion, then as we said, the first two rasas are supporting the higher three. So then by being the assistant in those ways, is it not just like for Krishna to have his cowherd pastimes, cowherd boy pastimes, there have to be cows.
Right.
At the same time, it's because he's gone out. Because if everybody's in the city at all times, what happens in the village? Everybody knows everything. So it's only because he goes out in the village, now you can have the parakeet aspects. So therefore, they're supporting all of these. So depending on what it is, they're going to be like that. And so whether it's a pure shanta or it has that sankirna aspect where it's got a mix of some other thing, but in any case, it's supportive of. Like that. So it's always going to be, the cows are in support of the other three rasas.
Right.
But at some point, maybe you see they're supporting the parent, all the spreading the friendship, and supporting the cow. So, okay.
Thank you. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama